There is a beautiful custom that's brought in the Ramah that on this coming Shabbos, in the afternoon, you should read part of the Haggadah from Avadim Hayinu, from the beginning of Magid after the Manishtana, until Lechaper brought Kol Avonoteinu, which is right after the Dayenu in our Haggadahs. And the Gra is very upset about this. He says it's a terrible minhag. The reason the Gra says it's a terrible minhag is because it goes totally against and contradicts what it says in the Haggadah. What does it say in the Haggadah, right at the beginning, before you fall asleep? Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. Maybe we could have done the Seder from Rosh Chodesh, or the mitzvah of the Haggadah from Rosh Chodesh. Tamud Lamar Bayomahu. You have to wait till that day. Remember that from the Haggadah? So there was a Hava Amina, there was at least an assumption, a logical assumption, that since the whole month was a month of redemption, indeed, on the beginning of the month, God said, this is the first month of the months of the year, and then he gives the halachas of Korban Pesach to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu conveys it to the Jewish people, and then on the 10th of the month, they took the little lamb, and then they put it in, they tied it to their bed, so the whole month was a month of Pesach. So there's a logical assumption, perhaps we could have said the Haggadah from Rosh Chodesh, not only have to wait till the Seder night. And the Haggadah brings the famous Ma'amar Chazal, no, it has to be on that day, and it has to be on that night, and it has to be at a time when matzah and maror are before you. So says the Gra, how can you read the Haggadah early? It says explicitly in the Haggadah not to do it. So imagine the case, a person would go along, and on Shabbos Haggadah is reading, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh Tamud Lamar Bayomahu. I would have thought you could do the Haggadah early. No, it says you can't. But I'm doing it early, says the Gra, it's a terrible minhag. Yeah.
Isn't one when you're doing is the mitzvah with the matzah maror in front of you, and the other one is learning it.
Like, okay. We're gonna try to explain. You're already explaining the Ramah. So the question is, how does the Ramah get out of this? The Gra's attack is a pretty good logical one. So how does the Ramah get out of it? So obviously, I think the answer is as Bruce said, that you're just learning the Haggadah. The Ramah doesn't say there's a halacha to read the Haggadah. The Ramah is trying to tell you to learn the Haggadah. In other words, to learn it before Pesach. So Shabbos Haggadah is to learn it before Pesach. But I want to take that one step further and say something that we've said many times and maybe at this time of the year is extremely important to repeat. And this is for people that want to have a Seder that's substantial. This is for people that want to not just go through the motions, but as a good friend and colleague, Rabbi Daniel Cohen of Stanford told me, to actually have the emotion together with the motions. We have a Seder every year. It becomes ritualistic in the eyes of many. You have to pick up the cup like this, and you have to lie, and you have to lean like this, and then you have to stand, and then you have to sit, and then you have to open the door, then you have to eat this much matzah and this much maror, then you make the sandwich that falls apart, and then you do this, and then you do that, and then you say these words. And at the end of the life, at the end of the day, what have you done? What have you done is, in my humble opinion, wasted 4, 5, 6 hours of your life. The good news is you did a few mitzvot on the way. You did the mitzvah, midoraisa, the biblical commandment of eating matzah. And hopefully you did the biblical commandment of saying the story of leaving Egypt, which I'm not so sure you did, but we'll talk about that. And then you did the mitzvot to Rabbanon of leaning and of drinking the cups of wine, etc. Karpas, korech, whatever. What have you done? Has the Seder been substantial in your eyes? The answer is no. Why? Because you didn't prepare. If you don't prepare, then prepare for boredom. Either prepare for the Seder or prepare for boredom. That's my message today, days before the Seder. If you want to be a Jew that comes to the Seder and normally wants to go through this day and say, I am going to go through it and enjoy it and get things out of it and gain insight and not just gain weight, but gain knowledge, then in my opinion, prepare or prepare for boredom. And that, in my opinion, is the most logical thing that I could say about the Ramah. The Ramah doesn't say there's a halacha per se to read the Haggadah and Shabbos Haggadah. In my humble opinion, the Ramah is saying, if you want a substantial Seder, prepare. Now, the Ramah was a normal Jew. He lived in Krakow, 16th century. He knows what the Jews are doing before Pesach. They're cleaning, they're koshering, they're asking their Rabbi Shailas, they're shopping, then they're cleaning a little more, then they're koshering, then they're asking their Rabbi Shailas. Who has time to look at the Haggadah? But on Shabbos, when you're not allowed to clean, you're not allowed to kosher, and you're not shopping, you got time. So says the Rama, now you have time. Prepare for your Seder. How do you prepare for your Seder? Open the Haggadah, start going through it, and say to myself, how do I make a Seder this year that's different from last year? That I will go through it, and understand it, and gain out of it. And don't give me excuses, but it's in Hebrew. The Rama says explicitly that great rabbis, he says this in Shulchan Aruch, said the whole entire Haggadah in English. Because it's Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, you have to tell the story. If they don't understand the story, you've done, according to the Rama, nothing. So if you don't know the translation, say it in Hebrew and then in English. Fine. Ask your rabbi, which part should I be more careful of, with translation-wise, saying it in Hebrew and in English. I would say, in our Haggadah, there's about three parts. But the bottom line is, if you don't prepare for something, it's lousy. You don't prepare for Shabbos, you have nothing to eat. You don't prepare for the wedding, look what the wedding looks like. The chairs are like this, and the flowers are not in the right place, and they don't start on time, and the food is lousy, because you didn't prepare, you didn't invest in it. You want to organize something, and people come in, they don't have a cup of coffee, then they're going to feel lousy. Part of a successful event is preparing for the event. And this is true throughout Judaism. Can anyone give me the proof of every single week that there's an actual, not just idea, good idea, but a mitzvah to prepare? Such a mitzvah that the Gemara says it's better you do it than ask someone else to do it. What am I talking about? A weekly mitzvah? Getting ready for Shabbos, thank you. Getting ready for Shabbos. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Aleph, says that these rabbis used to do this. I cut the fish head, and this rabbi used to do this. Everyone had to do something for Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos. So if you understand that statement, it's not just saying that they did a shtickle of mitzvah. You know, the maid did everything, and they just, you know, at the end, put the last nail with the hammer into the building. No. If you want a successful Shabbos, prepare for it. And therefore, we've said before, make a Shabbos doesn't mean make the food only. It means make the event. Ask yourself, what props I want at my Seder? What do I want to do this year? And you can't do everything. It's just one night here in Israel. Pick two, three themes that you're going to talk about at the Seder. Make photocopies ahead of time. Whatever you're going to use for yourself, for your wife, for your grandchildren, for your children. But just taking the Haggadah and reading it? What have you gained? I'm not so sure you mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim if you don't understand Hebrew. And for sure, no one's going to enjoy it. Preparation, as we see from Shabbos, is a mitzvah in and of itself. It's not just some far-fetched idea, a good idea. It's a good idea, and an Erev Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. Can we say that about Pesach too? So we have the Rama that says, Shabbos Haggadah, read the Haggadah, prepare for the Seder. Can anyone give me another proof that the days before Pesach are substantial to the preparation of Pesach? Halachic proof? Because around this table, we don't make up things. We try to make them tangible. So give me a proof that the days before Pesach have substance. There's a mitzvah involved there. It's not just prepare, it's a good idea, which it is, but rather the preparation is part of the mitzvah. Bedikas chametz. When do we do bedikas chametz? Erev Pesach, night before Pesach. So you'd say, oh, it's technical, you know. You can't check for chametz on Pesach because you're not allowed to have it already. By afternoon of Erev Pesach, you can't own any chametz. So you have to do it the night before. Why couldn't you do it on the day? Oh, the Gemara says because a flashlight or a candle you can't see during the day. So you do it at night. You can check the nooks and crannies at night. Gentlemen, it's only the night before Pesach. If you're going away for Pesach, but you were home 30 days, a whole month before Pesach, what's the halacha?
You have to clean your house and do the bedika.
You don't say a bracha, but you do bedika.
You do bedika even though it's not the Erev Pesach.
You got it. We paskin without a bracha, but you do bedikas chametz if you're home 30 days before. If you were not home a month before Pesach, then you don't even have to do bedikas chametz. You're not chayav in bedikas chametz. But if you're home, then you have to do bedikas chametz. Bitul you do anyway, midor raisa, the bitul.
Like so.
Now, gentlemen,
so you do bedikas chametz before
the night before you leave
then
the house.
If you're wherever you may be, you do also bedikas chametz.
Oh, so that's already a shaila. If you're going somewhere, for Pesach, there's two sveikos involved, if you do bedikas chametz or not. That's a very good question, because if you get there Erev Pesach, then probably the place you get to is Cheskato Baduk. It's probably already cleaned for Pesach. So maybe you're not chayiv in bedikas chametz, versus your own home where you eat chametz all year. The second suffix is it really your home? Like if you're in a hotel, they can move you from room to room. So do you really rent a hotel room? So that's a shaila. That's not so simple that you do a bedikas chametz in that situation. But your own home, yes. Now what does the halacha teach you? That there's substance to the 30 days before Pesach, which means that there's substance to the preparation towards the event, just like the event. Now, we've said this many times, but allow me to repeat it. It's one of my favorite zvorts of the Sfas Emes. The Torah brings a medrash that, why does it say by Lulav and Eser, Gulakachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, and you shall take on the first day? Why doesn't it say, and you shall take on the 15th of Tishrei? So, the medrash says, Yom Rishon, Liminu Yavonos. It's the first day you can do an Aveira. Because Yom Kippur was 4 days before. Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you were building your Sukkah, getting your Lulav. You didn't have time to speak Lashon Hara. But finally you got to the first day of Sukkot, and you're sitting in the Sukkah. Ah, all over, thank God. All right, let's sit down. Did you hear what happened to the neighbor? Did you hear what the rabbi said tonight? Did you hear him? I mean, the man must be an imbecile. Terrible. Ah, did you hear what this happened? They have time. Before Sukkot, you don't have time. So it says Bayom HaRishon. So ask the Taz on the tour, what is he trying to say? That the days before Sukkot have more Kedusha to them than Sukkot itself? When you're actually doing mitzvot yeshiva basukkah, living in your Sukkah, and taking your lulav and esrog, then there's more of a potential to do an Aveira than the days before? So I don't know if the Shaila is a Shaila, because it's logical. You don't have time to do Aveiras. Says the Sfas Emes, you learn from here a very important fundamental about Judaism. That the preparation for a mitzvah is more important than the mitzvah itself. Because the mitzvah itself takes 1 second. How long does it take a lulav and esrog? Mida'ag be nafik be. You pick it up, you did the mitzvah. Then you do the na'anunim, whatever, 2 minutes. How long does it take to eat matzah? 4, 5, 6 minutes, that's it. But the preparation towards it will make the mitzvah all the more substantial. If you learn Hilchos Matzah, and you know what matzah represents, and you have it all in your head, on the Shabbos HaGadol before, and then you finally take the matzah to your hand, it's substantial. But if you didn't learn anything about matzah, and you didn't learn anything about the significance of eating it, and you take it to your hand, it's nothing, it's eating. So you eat. Torah said eat, I eat. Alright, I surrender to the divine will, and that's where it ends. That's where we want it to end. Such a beautiful night in the history of our Jewish people. Almost every Jew is sitting at a Seder, and we just eat, drink, lean, and go to sleep. That's what we do. I mean, if we don't prepare for this night, it will mean nothing. So the Ramah is logical and normal. He knows what Jews are doing before Pesach. They're jumping here, they're jumping there. They don't have time to sit down and prepare for the Seder. So Shabbos HaGadol, you have time. So sit down, open a Haggadah, and start preparing. So when you get to Avadim Ayinu, it means something. When you get to this passage or that passage, it means something. But if you don't prepare, then prepare for boredom. Prepare for one of the most boring nights of your history. It's going to be awful. Let's think about this a minute. Until you get to the food, how long will it take? So if you read Hebrew very, very slowly, it will take 2 hours to read the Hebrew. You don't understand the word you're saying, so it means nothing. It's just, I have to say it, because you know, it says so in the Maxwell House Haggadah, I got to say it. So I open up the Maxwell House, and I start reading, and reading, and reading, and reading, and reading, and reading, and I get to the end. Ah, time to wash. Okay, we're going to wash. Time to eat. We got to eat. The rabbi said, eat this much matzah. I'll eat this much matzah. What does it mean to you? If we want to be normal Jews coming to the Seder, I have one message. Prepare. We proved from 3 different places, the Ramah about Shabbos HaGadol, Kvot Shabbos, the 30 days before Pesach, and we just added in that beautiful Sfat Emet, number 4, that preparation is sometimes more important than the mitzvah itself. It takes 6 minutes, 4 minutes to eat matzah. But if you talked about matzah 30 days before, those 4 minutes are going to be very substantial for you. If you prepare it for your wedding and learn with someone, then that moment of giving the ring, which takes exactly 30 seconds at most, is the most substantial moment in your life. But if you didn't learn anything about the wedding, then the rabbi said, give a ring, I gave a ring. A monkey could do that too. A monkey could lean. You can train the monkey to drink wine. It's no problem. Do we want to be monkeys? Or do we want to be human beings coming to the Seder and actually getting something out of it? So I hate to say this, but there's no excuses and there's no shortcuts. I'd love to say that there is, but there isn't. You have to go on the internet Erev Shabbos, print up endless ideas that you could see for your Seder, and during Shabbos, read it. There's a beautiful long Shabbos ahead of us. We're already in DST. Then use the Shabbos to think, how do we want this Seder to work? We got an hour or 2 hours. How do we want these 2 hours to be substantial? And then, when you get to the Seder, it's going to be Gan Eden, not Gehenim. And allow me to end with this thought. No one knows what the afterlife is about, correct? How do I know no one knows? Because no one came back to tell us. So whoever says, oh, I was in the afterworld and I know there's beautiful homes there. They look like homes in this neighborhood or that neighborhood. No one knows. But there's different ideas. This is my favorite guess. My guess is that Gan Eden and Gehenim are the same place. It's the same place. There's a long table. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting at the head of the table. He's giving a shiur. You're not hungry, you're not thirsty because it's Gan Eden. You have no physical needs. If during your life you devoted time to Torah and you enjoyed a good shiur, coherent shiur, from someone that knows rhetoric speaking, then it's Gan Eden for you. But if you never learned Torah, and for you a religious life was not something you invested in, and, you know, maybe even were a religious Jew, but you went through the motions without the emotion, if I can quote Rabbi Daniel Cohn again, it's Gehenna. It's hell. So I ask you, what's your Seder going to be like this year? Gan Eden? Or Gehenna? I mean, the captive audience is there. No one's expecting to get to the food right away. They know there's a delay. Are you going to use that delay? Or are you going to make that delay the most boring delay possible? Are you going to utilize the opportunity you have? Or are you going to take the opportunity and all you could say the next day in shul, when you get to shul on Pesach morning, when someone asks, how was your Seder? The answer is going to be what? Oh, we finished at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay. And the second question is, how was the matzah this year? Like every year it's supposed to change. No, this year wasn't so good. It was better last year. That's it. Beautiful night of the year. So many beautiful themes. And all you can talk about is when you finished and how the matzah tasted. All you can talk about is how good the food was and how long it took. That's it? That's the end of the Seder? That's what you got? Or did you go through an experience of some sort? And the only way to go through an experience is to prepare. So once again, I repeat, and with this I end. Either prepare for your Seder, or prepare for boredom. Prepare for this night, or prepare for the most terrible night of the year, where you're going to have to wait, and wait, and wait, for no reason, in order to get to your food. And we all know that eating on Erev Pesach is a problem. From a certain point of the day, it becomes a problem halachically. Before that point of the day, there's just no food in the house. And therefore, we don't know what to eat. We can't eat matzah yet. We can't eat chametz. So what are we supposed to eat? Endless potatoes? So you don't know what to eat. So therefore it's a problem and we're hungry and we don't know what to do and we're waiting and wait. Then we get to shul and then leave it to beaver that someone's going to put up a chazan that's going to take a while. And until you get home, you're going to come home and then you're going to have to wait again. I don't know if that's anything close to Gan Eden, Me'ein Olam Haba, beautiful. I think that's terrible. I wouldn't look forward to it. But if you prepare, you're going to look forward to finally, on that night, 3 stars are out. You could sit there to start letting it out. But if you don't prepare, in my opinion, just prepare for the most boring night of the year. Yes. So
where are you going to be in this
place? Why is that connected to this year?
Because I'm
no, this is not connected at all. I'll get to that in a minute.
How do you prepare with it?
I'll tell you in a moment. I'll tell you in a moment. We all have tricks of how to prepare. Yeah.
Shabbos before Pesach is always called Shabbos HaGadol. And the Rebbeim, apparently, that's the day that they give a very long, lengthy Bar Torah.
Yeah.
Is that also, as the Rama says, learning in preparation for the Seder night?
I'd like to think so. There's many reasons why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. Some say because of the Haftorah that says the word, Hinei Anachi Shalach HaChem Et Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem HaGadol VeHanorah. And some people say it's because the rabbi gives a longer drasha, he gives a long drasha. And in my humble opinion, the rabbis who used to speak twice a year, Shabbos Agadol, Shabbos Tshuva, was exactly for that reason, to prepare for the big days. You can go through Yom Kippur and not feel anything. You know, don't sleep the night before, eat all day, sleep through the entire Yom Kippur. You fasted, but you felt nothing. And that's it. You didn't do any vidui, you didn't do nothing. I don't know if that's a good Yom Kippur in the eyes of Halacha, definitely not in the eyes of Hashkafa, but hey, you want to go through the motions, stay in shul, talk the whole time, and eventually you come home and you break your fast. Same thing about Pesach. So, in my humble opinion, absolutely, that was the reason why the rabbis prepared a very important drasha in that time of the year. They couldn't do it during the week. People are shopping and cleaning and kashering. Who has time? But on Shabbos, we have time. So I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a great favor. This year, the Shabbos before Pesach is 2 days before Pesach. So many people are going crazy. What do we serve? And how do we on Motzei Shabbos clean it all up? And other people would say, great, only 2 days before, fresh. We can think all Shabbos what we're going to do. We'll rest a little bit from the koshering and the cleaning and the running around. And we'll also prepare for the big day. But if we don't prepare, it's going to look lousy. So we have to do what we can to prepare. And you have to think how to prepare. You want a little piece of advice? You have to take one theme, and that should be the theme for the entire Seder this year, whatever theme it is, and try to make it and crystallize it, because you can't talk about everything and every year. You should try to take a theme, whatever it might be, and try to crystallize it throughout the Seder. Okay? There's many themes you can take. Choose one. That's the theme. If you're in Chutz La'aretz, you can take two themes. One for each night. One for each of the in-laws.
And the same principle, the idea of learning the halakhas of Pesach 30 days before, beginning 30 days before, is that related to...
In my humble opinion, it could definitely is related to learning the halakhas either a month before, 2 weeks before the machlokes. It's also existential, because if we don't know the halachas of chametz, we won't be able to prepare our homes physically for Pesach. So with regard to Pesach, you have the two elements, the regular preparation and the special over and above preparation, because if not, we won't be able to fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach at all. Yes, Prince?
The reason I ask that is, I think the biggest factor is who's at the Seder. If there's a lot of 7 and 8 year olds,
true,
certain ways, true, as opposed to they're all adults,
true.
And so if the goal is to get the kids involved, that changes the whole focus of the Seder. So if you know, sure, where you're going, you don't know where you're going, you know who's going to be,
exactly,
there. Going to be there.
Exactly. Part of the preparation is to know where you're going, to know who's going to be there, and then based on that, you can prepare for the Seder. I absolutely agree.
Right. So if you
I know exactly where I'm going, I know exactly who's going to be at the Seder, I know exactly what I have to do, and I'm going to think about it for the next few days and prepare things in order for the Seder to be a substantial experience, because if not, it's going to be boring for me and boring for them. And I hate to say this, but if we just make it ritualistic, that you have to do this by leaning over this way, then it means nothing to anyone. So you lost an opportunity with a captive audience. You have to remember, they're there, they know they have to wait. They know there's like a recitation before the food. So are you going to use that recitation, or are you just going to throw it out? You can use or abuse. So you can use it by preparing, or you can abuse it by just saying the words. And now this is the part of the Seder where we all lean. I don't know, that doesn't do it for me. And this is the part where we eat the maror to remember was bitter. I don't know, I eat a piece of lettuce, do I feel bitter? I don't feel bitter. You feel bitter when you eat lettuce? No. Right? Oh, and this is the part of the Seder where we make a sandwich, because the Maxwell House, I love the Maxwell House, I got that. I don't know why I'm picking on the Maxwell House. I'm not getting any revenue from Maxwell House. Okay, it says to make a sandwich, we'll make this, it's falling apart. I guess that's part of it. We fall apart. You follow all the instructions like a monkey, and you'll, at the end of the Seder, you were a monkey. Or do you want to be like a human being and an upright Jew that's trying to add substantial Kedusha to his life by preparing? Up to you. You have the choice.
When you have the children, which I think is a key element of the Seder night, to tell the story to the children so that they can carry it out on from tradition from generation to generation, they are asked, or the youngest of them is asked to say the Manishtana, the four questions. Those four questions carry into the story and the issue of matzah, more, leaning, all these different elements that are part of the story. So in that context, don't they recognize that later on when they get to the issue of matzah, when they get to the issue of morer, and all of these other elements of leaning and drinking the wine, don't they? Isn't it important to bring these elements together for the children's benefit? After all, what's the purpose of the Haggadah?
Two things. Number one, I believe that the children are very important, but if you think about it, we're all children. Even when adults play games, they enjoy it. So if you want to prepare games and props, I think even the adults would enjoy it. That's number one. Number two, I don't agree that just because they say the Manishtana, they're going to get into it, because many, many people say Manishtana don't understand what they're saying. Unfortunately, we have taught the generation that we're in to say the words of the Siddur. We have not taught them to understand and to comprehend and to be influenced by the words of the Siddur. It's like important to say the Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what is Shmoneh Esrei? That's not important. Just say the Shmoneh Esrei. And then when we try to get to what it is, we get into a problem. So I think the Manishtana is ingenious, because we don't pick on philosophical ideas way up there. What's freedom? What's servitude? No one understands that, right? We were never slaves. We didn't go out to freedom. That's high up there. That you need 20 hours of a 101 course. We pick on very simple things. Just like in davening, we pick on, why do you take 3 steps back? Why do you bow? Why do you stand with your feet together? Same thing at the Seder. Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat maror? Why are we leaning? Why are we dipping? You know, those are very simple things everyone sees. So you better prepare answers for it. And it's not so simple. Not so simple. And there's no shortcuts. Yeah.
The Manishtana, saying in Hebrew, not understanding a thing, it reminded me of something that happened once. When I was little, we had a Passover with our Israeli cousins. And my dad decided to let their kids say the Manishtana. So the father said something Hebrew to the kids said something back, they're going back and forth, my dad's like, what's going on? He says, well, I thought for your benefit I had them say it in English, but they don't want to say it in English because they don't speak it well. My dad starts laughing, and my cousin's like, what's so funny? He said, I tell my kids to do the same thing, but I keep telling them to say it in Hebrew.
Once again, gentlemen, all these things should be anticipated ahead of time. So the Seder should flow. There shouldn't be surprises. If they're not anticipated, then it's one big mishmash, and, in my opinion, not substantial. So once again, I repeat, prepare or be prepared to be bored. I hope you pick the